Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast with your host, Ibn Leon. Join us as we explore the intricacies of spirituality and self-improvement. Gain a fresh perspective on enhancing your spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being through the fusion of spirituality and self-improvement. Enjoy Ibn's engaging conversations with guests from diverse backgrounds. They share unique perspectives on personal growth and holistic health. From spiritual leaders to relationship experts, entrepreneurs to creatives, each episode delivers knowledge and inspiration. Tune in to the Heart Matters Podcast for profound conversations and practical advice, empowering you to live your best life. Chapter 5, Inspiring Stories. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Morris, relationship and spiritual life coach. It is my mission and mantra to help the women and couples deepen their connection, communication, and intimacy with one another and or with the creator of the heavens and earth. I am so excited today. I have Miss Amy Young on the program. This is incredible. Amy is a life coach and an online creator who works with single women. The majority of her work online is focused on dating and relationships. She tackles tough topics that are love-related from a female empowerment perspective. She is also the host of the podcast called Just What You Needed. And she is also a huge YouTube star with over 6 million views on her YouTube channel. Welcome, Miss Amy Young, to the Heart Matters, everyone. How are you, Amy?
I'm so good. What an intro. I'm like, it's just like.
You like it? You like
that? I'm like, oh, excuse me. I didn't know I was such a big deal. But like when you say it like that, it makes me feel real special. So thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be speaking with you.
Yeah, I am so excited to have you. Okay, so I'm going to get into two of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you on. Right. And then okay. We're just going to chat.
Yeah.
First. Amy came on my radar when I read a piece that she put on Instagram called Women Are Users. And I just want to read a little bit of this piece. I'm not going to read the whole piece, but I just want to read a little bit of this piece and ask Amy about it. Mm-hmm. She said, women are users. Yes, you heard me. You use. You don't think it's using, but go deeper. It definitely is. You use men and relationships to make yourself feel whole and worthy in a world that taught you that you weren't enough just on your own. You use attention and validation to fill you up and keep you distracted from the big, dark, empty inside. You don't love love, you use love. You use counting calories and Peloton workouts and the number on the scale to inflate your sense of self-worth. You use youth and conventional beauty standards as a currency to measure yourself against other women. Your mind tells you ugly things like, at least I'm not as big as you as her, and it's just Botox. It's not like I'm going under the knife. Why in the world did you write this? Why did you write this piece? That's just a little snippet of the piece. I can't read the whole piece, but it is fabulous. When I read this piece, that's when I started looking at Amy's stuff, watching her videos. And I was like, why did you write this piece?
Why did I write this piece? I wrote this piece because it's the truth. I wrote this piece because it's the truth. And because I work with absolutely incredible, brilliant women who the words that want to come out of my mouth is like, who know not what they do. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm always, here's the thing about this, like this. So I love that we're starting off with this. First of all, I just want to say that, like, I love that we're just hitting the ground running because this post really pissed off a lot of people. And like, you know, I think that I'm not like a huge numbers person, but I think I lost like 800 followers that week. Like a lot of women were really offended and took this post as like they were being accused of something that was really like manipulative and like, or dark, or, you know, like the idea of like, I use things or people or stuff to like inflate my self-worth or make myself feel better. And my whole thing, when I say like, it's the truth, it's that, and this is the basis of, especially as I'm moving into kind of a new body of work that's broader than just the relationship space, it's really looking at how women are taught to devalue themselves and be unworthy and settle and not ask for much and not advocate for their own needs. And to like women, we live in a society that really profits a lot on women believing that they're not enough and being disempowered in their lives. And when you start to like wake up to all the ways, right, that messaging, marketing, you know, cultural norms, patriarchal society, capitalism, white supremacist society, like all of this different covert and overt messaging that's telling you just how you are and who you are is not enough, you start to wake up to all the ways in which you bought into that lie. And that's really what I'm exposing in that post, is me being like, this is how we've bought into the lie, right? Like the fact that a show like The Bachelorette exists is like an indicator that it's like we bought into the lie, you know? And I'm with women in that, you know, like a little later in the post, I say like, you know, there's no exceptions to this. Like I'm 1,000% in it. Like I've been a user. I'm sure I still am a user. Like we all have areas that we could afford to do a little more examination about, like, you know, where do I place my power outside myself? Whether it's in a certain relationship status or a certain number on the scale or a certain dress size or a certain job title, where do I attach my self-worth and my power to something outside of me or outside of God, right? Mm-hmm. Or in the relationship that I have with the universe. That's where we use. As soon as I've attached my worth and my power to something outside of myself, it's like, I'm like a parasite on that thing and I need it so that I can keep feeling good about myself. And that's where we get into trouble.
Hmm. Okay, so it wasn't your intent to offend.
No.
It was just your intent to be truthful.
Yeah, well, and it's like, you know, it's not that it's not my intent to not offend either. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my intent. It's never my intent, I would say, to like hurt or upset anyone. But if I hurt or upset someone or offend someone, I don't think that that's wrong or bad necessarily.
All right, so let's go into the other reason. This is the other reason why, after I read this piece, I sent a message to you. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah,
you
know, in September, I remember, yeah.
I sent a message, and then your PR person got back in touch with me and said that you were taking a break. Mm-hmm. And that you were taking a break because you had to reevaluate some things because of the George Floyd killing, mm-hmm. right? And I wrote her back, right? And I said to her, I said, well, why does she feel that it's necessary to take this break? Mm-hmm. Right? And then she told me, she said, well, she just needs to work some things out, you know, because she's, you know, reassessing some stuff based on the George Floyd. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on even more. That, because I said, well, not only is Amy bright and intelligent and articulate, but she's thoughtful, right? So why did you take the break after the George Floyd killing?
Yeah. Well, May and June were like, well, I think that they were really big wake up calls for a lot. I mean, especially white people. You know, I think it was like, the huge, massive, necessary Black Lives Matter wave, you know, that kind of like moved through the US after the murder of George Floyd. You know, I'll speak to my experience while always like never wanting to center myself as a white person, but like I'll share like just what I realized as I was just seeing all the places where, as a coach and a business owner, I and a leader of white women, I had not owned my positionality, like as a white person and a leader of white women and a coach. It's like in my personal life, I would have conversations about racial injustice, Black Lives Matter, trans rights, like, you know, all of these social justice issues. I've always knew where I stood about it. And I realized that in terms of my business and my brand and my messaging and all my work online, I had not been explicit and overt about where I stood on those topics. And that was I was doing a huge disservice to the Black community, to my clients, to the women who wanted to work with me, to people who maybe didn't want to work with me because of where I stood on those issues. Like I assumed that people knew where I stood, or I assumed that, like, you know, well, obviously I care about like Black Lives Matter, obviously I stand. And I realized just through June, I was like, this is something that I have left out of my work. And that was a huge oversight. And I just realized in July, I was like, I really need to get back to kind of like my, you know, what I've really been in is in like a reassessment of values and ethics and looking at like, what do I really stand for? And what am I really about as a coach and as a leader? And where am I not explicit and overt about what I believe or care about or what I don't? And I needed to like hit pause on like projects and collaborations because I really hadn't done a hard kind of values assessment with myself in a long time. And I ended up partnering with Erica Corday and India Jackson of Pause on the Play to do some kind of like deep diving into diversity, equity, inclusion, and working with a couple different anti-racism educators to just look at like where, because I'm not being overt about it, like where am I upholding white supremacy? Because that's really what it is, right? It's like, and I believe this, that it's like, you know, if you're neutral, if you're like, oh, I don't talk about that, if you're just like, well, I would rather not go there, or that doesn't involve my business. For me, I was like, oh my God, by not saying something and not advocating and not, you know, moving towards accompliceship and like wanting to stand for Black liberation, I'm just upholding the system, you know, like I'm just like turning a blind eye. Or, and I think white women have a lot of work to do, you know, and I include myself in that. So I just felt a level of like responsibility and honestly like shame for not realizing it sooner.
Okay, where were you when you first saw this George Floyd killing? Or where were you when you first heard about it?
I was in my home here in Boulder, Colorado.
And you saw it on the news, it came over your phone. How did you see it?
It was on my phone.
Wow. Okay, well, how did it impact you? I know how it impacted me. I could only watch it once. How did it impact you?
I felt sick. Like that was the thing, is it was like, it wasn't, there was something, and I think this was like the experience that so many people, there was something about that particular, like actually seeing how that unfolded and like witnessing bystanders. And I felt sick. Like I remember it was like that week, and there was a Wednesday afternoon, and I could not work because I could not stop thinking about it. And I also was thinking about all the other times that, like, you know, things had come on the news cycle or there'd been another killing, and how I had been like, oh God, that, like, yeah, that's horrible, or I hate that, or that's unfair, or that's not how things should be. But I didn't do more than that, than just kind of pause. And it was like I don't even have a metaphor for it, but it just, something hit me differently where I was like, what the fuck have I been doing? Am I allowed to swear? I don't know if that's like,
it's fine. It's
but
fine.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what have I been doing? Like, oh, I've been caring enough so that, like, you know, in my like privilege or position of like whiteness that, you know, I care, but I wasn't holding myself accountable in any other way. Mm. And I just was, and you know, and then as I was reading about, you know, more of what happened and seeing more family photos, and you know, it just made me sick.
Mm. All right, so what else, Amy, what else did you learn about yourself during it? Because like when you, you know, if you go on a break or you take time for reflection, mm-hmm. and you're thinking about a specific issue, you know, it's not like the mind can just stay focused on that one issue. What else did you learn about yourself during that hiatus?
Like the reassessment period kind of?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I mean, a lot of things. I mean, I've been in like sort of a dark night of the soul space for like over a year, to be, you know, where it's just like, you know, I've been like in a space of like reassessment and questioning and looking at myself and knowing like my work was going to be shifting. And then this summer was like, oh, we were in a dark night of the soul and now we're in like the darkest depths. So like, I felt like I went like 7 levels deeper. One of the biggest things, and one of the reasons why I was really excited to come on and talk to you, is like, I really dove a lot deeper as well into my relationship with God and spirit and spirituality and the other realms and that which cannot be seen and that which cannot be known. And looking at, that was another thing that I was examining and looking at, you know, this is another huge part of me, like Amy me, human me, that I've just like left out of my coaching work or left out of my YouTube videos or left out of, and it was interesting in talking with Erica in India, you know, we realized that like, I was sort of operating from that old kind of rule of like, well, you don't talk about religion or politics. You know what I mean? Like I know what you mean. It was like, I was operating this place and I was thinking about how I used to bartend when I lived in New York, you know, like in my past life before I was a coach. And like one of the rules at the bar was like, we don't do religion and politics, because like, especially when you get like alcohol involved and then like people start talking about stuff, you know, it could get tense really quick. And we're like, we don't need any like angry, drunk conversations and problems. And there was something about that that had kind of gotten woven into my work, you know, even though I was like, you know, running my own business and steering my own ship and getting to be my own boss, there was some of this old programming of like, you know, don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics, because it's alienating, because it's uncomfortable, because it turns people off, because you can start arguments, because it's divisive, whatever. And there was still, there was like this nervous people-pleasy part of me that was still opting into that. And having to really dismantle that and look at like, why am I subscribing to that programming? Like, what is that about? And so I've been really, so since then, I mean, I've just been coming out a lot stronger and saying what I'm really thinking and feeling and what I really believe. And that's kind of where, you know, this post that you read at the very beginning, like that's where a lot of that stuff comes from, is I'm like, I didn't realize how much I was kind of filtering myself or muzzling myself. And I think a lot of other people didn't realize as well, because I've always been pretty outspoken, but there was still a lot of stuff I was hiding that I didn't realize I was hiding until I really hit pause and was reflecting more.
Okay, now tell me why you became a coach. Why did you want to be a coach? You mentioned that you were a bartender.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, how did you shift into that? When did the coaching thing start?
It was a total accident. Well, it's like, so it was an accident, but looking back, whenever I tell people this story, they're always like, oh, well, duh, that's what you would end up doing. But so the first thing I always say is like, I come from a family of coaches and clinicians. Like my dad's a coach and my mom is a social worker and she's done therapy. And, you know, And I grew up in a household where things were very like personal development focused, kind of like new age spirituality. Like that was just kind of what I was always eating, sleeping, breathing. But I really wanted to be a performer and an actor. So I moved to New York and I went to school in New York. And then I was like doing my actor thing. And then I started doing comedy. I did improv, I did stand up. And that was when I started my YouTube channel in 2012, just as like a creative outlet just for me, because I thought I needed it. Like I was feeling very disillusioned with the entertainment industry and feeling really kind of like turned off by just like the actor grind. So I started my YouTube channel and over time developed this very kind of like small following of people who were really into what I had to say, especially about dating and relationships. I had a lot of like, I would tell funny stories. I would make vlogs, you know, about things I'd noticed in my own dating life or my friends' relationships. But it wasn't from a perspective of like, here's how I can help you. It was just like, doesn't this suck? Or like, isn't this funny? And it was this interesting, I mean, but this is the thing, like when I think about how my life works or like how things come together, you know, it was this kind of confluence of events where I was questioning, like I was really sick of acting and I didn't want to be doing comedy anymore. And I was definitely sick of bartending and like tired of like long hours and working doubles and that lifestyle. I was thinking about, do I go back to school? Like, do I become a therapist? Do I get a social work degree like my mom? And a couple women from my YouTube channel found my actor website and ended up emailing me, telling me that they like my videos, but then also like asking some questions like, you know, I'm dating this type of guy and have you ever dealt with anything like this? Or, you know, what do you think? And I fell into this very kind of casual, fun correspondence. And I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I was like, oh, like, okay, like something's happening here. And like, and I knew about coaching and I was like, well, what if I like started really planting these seeds more specifically in terms of the online pieces of the puzzle? You know, like I decided like, okay, we're going to go hard in the direction of dating and relationship coaching. Cause I felt like if I had anything that I could maybe support someone on, it would be that. And I'm going to get trained as a coach because it's a lot cheaper than getting a master's degree and you can get it a lot faster.
Yeah.
And so I just started moving in that direction. So it's like, it feels like it's very obvious and no duh that this is what I would end up doing. But it's sort of like, I was the last one to know. Like, I just didn't see it coming, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So when you were doing the comedy shows,
yes,
right? Did people really find you funny? Because I think you're absolutely hilarious. I watch your videos and I'm like, she is absolutely.
Oh, thanks.
So were you any good at the comedy thing?
I was good. I mean, like, here's the thing about that I love. Well, so with stand-up, I only did it really for like 18 months. Because it takes because here's what happens. Is like you get the idea that you want to do stand up and then you like talk yourself out of it for a really long time because it's like really scary. So then finally by the time I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Like I'm really actually going to do it. You know, you really, it's just very inconsistent in the beginning because you don't really know what you're doing. So like I would have sets that were like so much fun and I was like riding a high and it was like, oh my God, like stuff is hitting. People think I'm funny. Like this punchline is working. People are actually laughing. But then the next night I would have another set where it was like crickets the whole time. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I'm like, I don't get it. It's the same material. Like, why didn't they like it? What did I do wrong? Like, why don't they think I'm funny? And it's just like a brutal medium because like there's so much that's out of your control. And I think to really become a master of it, it's like the only way to do it is you have to put in so much time and so much practice. And so when it was good, it was like so good. And when it's bad, it's just horrible. Like it's just like so awful. But when you have like a good set or like you really feel like the audience is with you or with me, like I love improvising stuff or kind of like doing crowd work and things like that. When you're just on the fly with people, it's like, so fun. It's like so much flow and freedom.
All right, Amy, when is the book coming out?
What are you talking about?
No, I'm serious. Listen, when people because, you know, I do a little bit of writing. I'm not, you know, I'm no Harlan Coben or nobody, but I do a little writing. So when you have a story like yours, and I know that you could write because I read the piece. I read a little bit of the piece. Mm-hmm. So, and you wrote your own comedy, you know, so I know that you can write. Mm-hmm. So when are you gonna put your story out for people to read?
I don't know. I don't know.
Have you thought about it?
Yeah. So like I started writing a book maybe like early 2018. I like started writing and I've had a couple conversations with publishers even, and it's been one of those things where like it just hasn't felt 100% right yet. And I had a really good conversation. I remember when this one publisher reached out to me and wanted to have a meeting, and I reached out to my friend Jeremy Goldberg, who's on Instagram, Long Distance Love Bombs, because I know he published a book. I think he's working on his second one right now. And I reached out to him just being like, you know, are there good questions for me to ask? Or like, what would you suggest? I don't know. Like, yeah, I've thought about writing a book, but I'm not sure what to do. And he was like, well, I would just start with really thinking about like, why do you want to write a book? Like, he was like, just start with that. And when he asked me that, I had this moment where I was like, you know, I don't really think I want to write a book right now. Like, I just like, I had this moment. Like, it was the best question, because I was like, oh, well, when you put it that way, like, I actually don't think it seems like a good idea, or maybe from like a business perspective, it would be smart or something like that. But I was like, I don't really think I want to write a book right now. And so I've sort of been operating from that place of just like, you know, I don't really want to do it right now, or it doesn't really feel right or aligned. And if that, or when that changes, I'll know, and I'll write the book then. So, but I'm not in a rush. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the coaching.
Yes.
What specifically do you help the women with? How do you help the women?
How do I help the women? Well, this is a fun thing to answer because it is really changing right now. Because traditionally what I've really done, I work with women who are very codependent. Gotta love that codependency, keeps things interesting. who are very codependent, who tend to be very relationship focused in their lives. Like kind of like serial daters, serial monogamists, get kind of like boy crazy or obsessive. I work primarily with heterosexual women. You know, I frame things very much in a heteronormative way. I've worked with people who are not heterosexual, but I have to catch myself always of being like, you know, I'm not just assuming every woman wants to be with a man, but I work with a lot of women who have a history of picking partners or being attracted to people who couldn't necessarily meet their needs, that they sort of had on a pedestal, that they get very lost in relationships. And the women I work with are typically in a place where they're like starting to wake up to all of that. Like I talk about it, like there's this thing in life where you have to circle the drain a certain number of times, doing maybe playing out the same patterns or dating the same type, you know, like you leave the relationship and then you find yourself in the same relationship with a different person. And at a certain point you're like, oh, like what's the common denominator here? It's me. Like, so I've always worked with women when they hit the, oh, it's me moment. And they realize like, there's some stuff I got to clean up in my relationship with myself, in how I operate in relationships. And who want to do more of like the deep dive self work pieces of that puzzle so that they can really be in a position where then they're not pursuing relationships from a place of lack or desperation or loneliness or scarcity or feeling like I just need someone to pick me or I just need to be with someone, you know, because that doesn't work in my experience.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's really kind of shifting too, where I'm really broadening the scope and looking at kind of like that sort of blueprint of like, you know, what's the stuff that you chase after in your life or that you think you need to be whole or to be fulfilled or to be powerful or to be worthy? And let's stop buying into that lie. So, but it's always really about helping women realize how whole and powerful they are on their own.
Amy, have you always been this outspoken? What kind of child were you? I mean, how many siblings do you have? But I mean,
you are so funny.
Always like talkative and, you know, and bossy, you know what I'm saying? Were you?
I don't really know. I think I always, I probably always had like a lot of opinions about things. I probably always, when I was really little, I was actually super shy. I was like really, I never wanted to go anywhere without my mom. Like I was really such like a little quiet, nervous kid. And then something shifted. I think once I got into school and maybe like felt more, I don't know, maybe I was just getting a little more independent. I felt more comfortable kind of spreading my wings. But I've always been, it was always for me less about like, well, it's funny. Like I think of like friends of mine who would I've known for a long time who would probably be like, yes, Amy, you've always been this way. But like, but I think it was for me, it was always less about like trying to, yeah, like be bossy or assert my opinion or be heard. And more, I was always really fascinated by like being in groups or being in environments and kind of just like seeing how everybody operates together and know, and being very curious. I mean, I think anyone who's a coach or who works with humans, you're kind of fascinated by like human behavior or like psychology or what motivates people. Yeah. And I always felt like I was watching that stuff and like making connections or noticing things or knowing something without knowing how I knew it, like just like, oh, there's something weird going on there, or there's like a weird energy here. I've always been more fascinated kind of by that.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever think that you would grow up and that fascination that you had as a kid would actually turn into something where you could help people with it? Did you never thought that?
No. No, I think, well, because this is a weird job. Like this is not a normal job to have, like, you know, and it's also, it's very like egoic for, if I was like, I can help everybody, you know what I mean? It's like, people need to know what I think because I can make their lives better. It really wasn't until people started coming to me and being like, well, what do you think? That I was like, oh, like maybe I have something to say. And I remember when I started talking to some of my girlfriends, like one of my friends who bartended with me, and I told her, I think I'm going to do this coaching thing. She was very much like, well, that's what you do with all of us. You know, like she was like, yeah, right. She's like, that's why I come to you with my relationship problem, you know, or that's why I'm always trying to talk to you about this thing. Cause like, I really appreciate your perspective. And that was kind of when like light bulbs started going off for me that I was like, oh, I guess this is like, I guess I have some stuff to offer some right. people. So like, I'll not be afraid to speak up and see what people think about it, you know?
All right. Okay. So did you do the coaching first? You started the coaching. Mm-hmm. Then you did the YouTube channel and then you
other
started
way,
the podcast.
Other way
you did
around.
The YouTube channel first.
Yes. So YouTube channel started first. And I did that for about 2 years before I even thought about coaching.
Okay. So what were you talking about on YouTube channel? You just come on and just talk about relationships.
Like, don't go back and look at my old videos because they're so ridiculous.
They're there, aren't they?
They okay. are definitely there. You can go deep in the archives and go looking for some stuff. I mean, it was, I remember I did a video about like what happens when you run into your ex. And I did it as this like kind of funny, and I honestly don't remember if this was something that had just happened to me or something that like had happened to a friend, but I did this like one version of the video where it's like what you want to have happen, you know, where it's like you bump into your ex and you look like amazing and like, you know, you got like your hair done and you look like sexy and you feel hot and it's like, ooh, eat your heart out. And then I did like the reality version of it where it was like coming out of a yoga class and you're like sweaty and like disgusting and he's like with some, you know, cute new girl and you just like went and got like a donut and I did it with like powdered sugar all over my lips. Like I really just because here's what I really believe is like one of my favorite quotes is from Oscar Wilde. He's like, if you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh. I don't know if that's a direct quote, but it's like, you know, if you want people to be able to really see the truth of things. It's helpful if you can poke fun at it or make fun of it or help or bring levity to it. Mm-hmm. And that was always kind of unconsciously, that was always kind of how I operated. I was like, we gotta laugh at this stuff. Cause like with my girlfriends, like we would all do ridiculous things to try to like get a guy's attention or, you know, like try and get a date with someone or, you know, like all, and it was like, my God, this is hilarious that like, this is stuff that we're all doing. And then you talk about it on the internet, or I was talking about it on the internet, and all these other women were being like, I do that too. And it was like this wonderful collective sort of understanding and honesty that I think is really healing for people. Like, I think when we see someone who can articulate something for us or show us something about ourselves that maybe we felt ashamed or uncomfortable about, and then they're like, hey, like this is true for me too. That's really healing. It's like, it, you know, it kind of like brings our secrets out into the light. And then it's like, oh, I'm not so weird, or, oh, that's something everybody does. Like, I don't need to feel uncomfortable about this. So I love being able to offer that, some version of that to people.
All right, and we're going to talk about the new project, but I have to ask you, you know, what was your first long-term relationship like?
Long-term was probably, well, what do you classify as long-term?
Oh, about 5 years.
5 years? I'm not even up to that yet, Lewis.
You're not?
No. The longest relationship I had was 3 years.
Okay, so what was that the first long-term relationship, or was that recent?
No, that was probably my first like long-term like adult relationship. Like I dated guys in high school, I dated guys in college, and then when I got out of college in my 20s, I had a serious relationship that felt more like, oh, this is like an adult relationship.
Okay, so that was the one that lasted 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that like?
That was a super fascinating relationship because it was my first taste of like really kind of like healthy connection, which sounds kind of sad, but it's like, I'd always been, and this is a case for a lot of the women I work with too, I'd always sort of been more attracted to relationships that were like, maybe there was a lot of chemistry, but like we weren't super compatible, or there was like a lot of passion and romance, but they were sort of unstable, like the roller coaster ride relationship, you know, where like the highs are so high and then the lows are so low. And I really loved that intensity. Even though it was sort of unsustainable, I was always drawn to like some like, you know, chaos and passion and electricity and stuff. And I remember when I met, you know, my ex, he was so like kind and available and patient and considerate and respectful and thoughtful. And he had such a good job and he had a great family. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I was just like, I was so like, I was so confused. Like, I was just like he didn't want to fight with me. He didn't want to.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you were confused? What does that mean?
It was like a different. I was confused because up until that point, I'd always felt like in order for me to feel really comfortable or connected in a relationship, there needed to be a level of drama. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there need to be a level of like drama or like passion or like fiery connection. And this relationship, it was just very stable. Like, it was very like, what you see is what you get. I like you. You like me. Like, I don't want to fight with you. I want us to have a good time together. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was
yes,
like,
I know.
I hope you know what I mean.
But I know exactly like, what you mean. So it was regular. It yes. was a regular relationship.
Yes.
You know, there was attraction there, but it was a regular relationship and you weren't used to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Not at all.
Did you get used to it?
Absolutely. And that's why this relationship was so fascinating. Because in the beginning, I was very much like, uh-oh, like I didn't trust it. Do you know what I mean? Because it was new and it was different and it was like, And he was this like very sweet, emotionally available, stable guy. And it's like, and that sounds like it would be great. But the fact that it felt so unfamiliar to me made me like question, like, I was like, what's the catch? Or when's the shoe gonna drop? Or like, what's the problem here? Hmm. And that relationship was really like, I'm so grateful for it. And I've expressed this to him, you know, like we've had conversations too, where it was a relationship that really helped me heal and grow and get an understanding of like what healthy, regulated, stable, sustainable connection actually feels like. Because the relationships that I'd had before that, like the reason why those relationships couldn't last that long is because like a roller coaster ride, you can't live on a roller coaster. You know what I mean? Like it's like set up to fail when there's like that much like tension or drama or chaos, you know, all these words I use. And this was my first taste of something where it was like, oh, we're just really comfortable together. And it just feels really easy. And I had to get used to a certain level of comfort and ease with him. Mm. And it was also a big part of me. Like, I'm so grateful to him because he didn't put up with any of my shit. Like he would, you know, like I would want to like pick fights to kind of just like get a little like something going, you know, like feel the drama. Yeah, and he was like, I'm not going to fight with you. Like, I'm just not going to fight. And I would be like so mad because I was like, I just want to. And so it was like, that was a really good thing too, you know, to have someone who was just like, I respect you too much for us like to do this dance with you. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do that. And to like 24 year old me or whatever, that was like a big ego blow. I was like, no, I do this stupid dance with me where we like get up, you know, so we like fight really hard. So then we can have like makeup sex. So then we can like feel really close. And it's like all of that got majorly unraveled.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Wait, but can you tell me a little bit? I mean, I know you're like asking me questions, but like, have you experienced those sides of the coin where it's like maybe there's a lot of like passion or
I just experienced that recently.
Oh, really?
But I knew it was coming.
This is the thing, right? It's like you can tell.
What happened was that when me and her went out, mm-hmm. she wanted to be physical. Mm-hmm. That's all she wanted. That's the only reason she wanted to see me was to be physical. Mm-hmm. But she didn't want to say it because she didn't want to seem like a prostitute.
Yeah.
Or a like loose woman. Easy. Yeah. You know, so she played it like, you know, she wanted something other than that. But mm-hmm. after like 20 minutes, I kind of peeped that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
So that's why I never opened up to her. I never started talking about intimate things with her.
Yeah. Honestly,
because I knew that's not what she really wanted.
Yeah.
So we went out for about 4 or 5 times, and then, you know, we got to what she wanted to get to.
Mm-hmm. It's more, if you know what I'm saying.
And like that, you know what I'm saying? But she just didn't want to come out and say it. So, you know, I just, you know, because I don't have a problem, you know, saying I would have rather for her to just say, look, you know, this is what I want to do. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Let's just do that. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because we're two adults. You know what I'm saying? We don't, you know, it's not like we need anybody's permission. But she, you know, I played the game, so.
Sometimes it's kind of fun, though. Like, this is the thing. It's like, I'm so with you. Like, I think, yeah, it's like always just like, just be upfront. Just tell the truth. Like, just be honest. But there can be a lot of, like, charge and fun and play to kind of being like, oh, okay, like you're not going to show all your cards, I won't show all my cards either. Like, you know, so and it's funny because I work so much with women around, especially like women who really feel like they're ready for like something committed, something serious. But I love also being able to work with my clients and be like, look, it doesn't always have to be like, not every person that you date needs to be like the forever person. Like, it's really good. I think there's so much value in dating to have like a phase and a stage of like, you know what? I just want to date as many different types of people as I can. And like, say yes to whatever connection comes my way to just experiment and see and play and have fun and explore versus being in like prowl mode and being like, I'm hunting, you know, like it's like, let yourself have fun with it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I have fun. I'm not saying I enjoy myself.
Good.
Because when we went to the, restaurant, we went to the restaurant, which she met me there. And so she was playing her game. So she asked me what I wanted. Right.
Like in a relationship?
Yeah. She asked me what I wanted with her. Right.
Oh, so
she
asked
me, she said, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
Right. So I hit her with the music line from Jason's lyric.
Uh-huh.
So I told her, I said, just tell me where you're going to be at so I could be there too.
Yeah.
Because that's the way, you know, I don't look at dating like that. I just, you know, I deal with what's there. And if something develops, then we go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, Amy, let's talk about this new project that you're working on. All right, okay. So what is this new project that you got going on?
So the new project that I've been most excited about is I have a new coaching program, which is like, it's the first time in a long time I've debuted like anything new or had new curriculum, and it's called The Undoing. And I'm working with women around feminine power, like specifically looking at like masculine, feminine, energetic dynamics and looking at the ways in which, you know, living in a patriarchal society and in a world where like a lot of masculine power is really present, how women really don't trust and don't necessarily even know how to access what feminine power looks like or feels like. So I'm calling it patriarchal deprogramming because it's a lot of having to look at, you know, where you have disconnected from yourself and where you have been told to be a certain way or act a certain way, or that you needed to do something to be accepted or to be loved or to be successful or to be any number of things. And just questioning, like really looking at like, is that actually me or is that who I think I have to be in the world? So it's deep. Like this is the thing. You can ask the women in this program. Like I initially, when I started first because I worked on the curriculum for a really long time before I kind of opened it up to people. And initially I was like, I think this is like a year long program. Like I was like, I think I really want a lot of time with these women to really unpack a lot of stuff and go really deep with things. But I'm doing a beta version of it right now. So we're doing just 12 weeks together and it's like a little bit of a crash course. So, but it's been really incredible. And it's been, I mean, even just around like one of the core things that, you know, we were working on really early on was looking at teaching women how to be really like, you know, intimate with their own emotions. And like being like, I talk about like emotionally responsible for yourself and having a lot of emotional ownership so that you're not just reactive or flying off the handle or losing your shit about something, you know, like really looking at the ways in which it's like, oh, you were told not to be emotional or that you're too sensitive or that that's not okay. And how repressing all of that has so many terrible side effects. I mean, I think for men and women alike, but, you know, just from exploring that and giving people more free range to be like, let's explore your real feelings and let's get you in touch with like how to actually feel them on a physical level. It's so liberating for people. And everyone thinks it's going to be horrible. Like everyone's like, oh my God, I'm going to get depressed. It's going to be terrible. I'm afraid. And it's like, they're just your feelings. Like, it's like, you can just feel them. But that's, you know, like that's one thing I think our ability to feel is so powerful. I think it's such a superpower. And we're really taught and told, you know, from such a young age that it's like, don't cry, you know, like don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
And over a lifetime that can really screw with us because your emotions also, if we talk about in relationships, are such a powerful form of guidance, like being able to tune into how you feel with someone, you know, like you even being able to say with this woman, like, oh, I could tell that she wanted something very specific. So I wasn't going to go to certain places with her, right? Like you weren't going to like open up completely. You weren't going to like, you know, there were certain topics that were probably off limits. Like that's so powerful to be able to feel that and know that and sense that.
Yeah.
And when we get stripped of that, that it's like from the neck down, we're just like not in tune, not paying attention, not sure of what we're feeling. And we're just like out there in the world. It's like, you know, it's kind of like walking around without a GPS. I think it's a lot harder to navigate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to somebody on a previous podcast, cause they asked me about it, you know, mm-hmm. one of my guests, you know, and I said, it's just, I've been with women since I was 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was my first like long-term relationship when I was 12,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there's a level of self-awareness that you develop like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how I knew like after 20 minutes. But anyway, let's talk about the podcast. We can't get out of here, Amy, without talking about the podcast. Tell the people about the podcast, what you talk about, what you're bringing on the podcast. All right.
Yeah. Well, so the podcast is called Just What You Needed because it's just what you needed. So like, I started the podcast. I knew I wanted to do a podcast. Right now it's just a solo podcast, but I'm thinking about doing some interviews moving into the new year. You know, a lot of times I would make a poster, I would make a video. This was before I started it. And people would say like, oh my God, how did you know I needed to hear this today? You know, or like, this is exactly what I needed. And I wanted to create this space through podcast episodes where I could kind of have longer conversations with the listener, where maybe, you know, an Instagram caption is only so many characters, but if I have like a half hour solo episode, I can really unpack a topic and go more deeply and offer different insight. So it kind of became, the podcast just became the space for like a lot of different topics. So I definitely have historically talked about a lot of dating and relationship stuff. With the new work that's coming through, you know, in The Undoing, I've been bringing in more of those concepts and teaching points. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago about why it's so hard to really like love yourself in a really active way. It's a lot of self-reflection and a lot of like intimate conversation. Sometimes I'll have, like, I had a friend tell me there was this one episode I did about topics that we avoid, like things that we don't want to talk about. And she was like, I didn't like that one. Like she was just like, and it's because it like hit something in her that it was like, oh, there's a place that I don't want to go to. And this podcast is making me think about it. So some people, I'm someone that like, I love going deep and I love being forced to think about something in a new way. And I love being shown, you know, like where maybe, like I love when someone can put into words something that I've thought, but like didn't necessarily have words to put to. And a lot of the feedback I get is that sort of reflection of like, oh, this is something I've always struggled with, but I've never heard it sort of explained in this way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, we go deep and we go hard and, but it's all with a lot of love and curiosity and I'm really excited at the prospect of maybe doing interviews. I don't know if I'm a very good interviewer. So like whenever I'm doing podcast interviews, I'm always paying attention to how other people run their shows because I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I'm just used to me talking on my own, but it's a lot of fun.
All right. So I have to ask you about politics.
Uh-huh.
Before we go, you know what I'm saying? Sure. Because, you know, I watch a couple of your videos, so I know how passionate you are about politics.
Yeah.
Right? How do you feel about the results of the election?
Okay. How much time do we have? So here's the thing. I feel relieved. You know, there's like different layers to it. Layer one is like, I'm just relieved. Like there's just a sense of like, I was joking before the election that I was like, I would take a golden retriever wearing a bow tie over another 4 years of Donald Trump. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I would take, it's like those signs where people say like any adult, like any, I was really just in the space of like anybody but him. So I'm definitely relieved. I'm super excited. I think it's absolutely amazing to have Kamala Harris as like, you know, having a woman in the White House, a woman of color in the White House, like, you know, watching her the speech, you know, where they finally were able to come on and say like, okay, it looks like we won the thing. Like I had tears in my eyes that I didn't expect. It's just exciting to see a woman in a position of power like that. So layer one is relief, but layer two is also this like just very honest awareness that like, no, I don't believe any politician or any political party is going to save us from ourselves in this country. I don't believe that like the president or that government officials are like the parents of the United States of America and that they're going to be able to come in and just fix everything or solve everything. I think we got a lot of problems. And I think it spans beyond just political problems. Obviously, we have issues around, you know, human rights, equal rights, healthcare, like basic fundamental stuff that in my mind, it like shouldn't be that complicated, but because of the way that our government is run and all of these things, it's very complicated for some people or very divisive. So, you know, I've been saying to people or in the conversations I'm having with friends of mine, I'm like, we just got to stay really wide awake in the issues. Like there's no going back to sleep. 2020, I think, brought so much stuff to the surface. And even Donald Trump's presidency, I think, brought so much stuff to the surface that was like, I described it once I did an Instagram story where I was like, America's like this like disgusting, like oozing pimple. And all this stuff was like under the surface. And now it's just all out. And it's just like, we're looking at the truth of who we are as a nation and looking at our past and reflecting and facing all of our ugliness and our bullshit. And like, that's not going away just because a Democrat is in office. You know what I mean? So I'm sure I'll be having more conversations online with people about it. And, but I'm really of the mindset, and I don't know if you feel this way as like a business owner, but it's like, I really don't want to hide any of this. Like I want people to be really clear on where I stand and what I believe in, to know that so that they can feel for themselves, you know, is this going to be the right person for me? Because I'm definitely not for everybody.
Well, listen, you know, I am so like, it's dope having you on.
Listen,
don't be shocked. You know what I'm saying? If you hear from me again in 2021, you know what I'm saying? Ask you to come back on. You know what I'm saying?
Please.
This is so good. You know what I'm saying? You're one of the smartest people that I've seen online. I'm serious. You know, so I'm not like just fluffing you up. I don't do that with people. You know, you're one of the smartest people I've seen online. You know what I'm saying? You're so authentic. You know, when you come on, you know what I'm saying? I know you ain't coming on with no BS. You're just going, you know, just going to come on and be Amy. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, when she comes on, you know what I mean? I already know what to expect from her because I've seen enough of your stuff to know this is how you coming, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was so okay. Look, I gotta ask you one more question before we get out. Did you know when you were in college? You know, did you know that you were this smart? What type of grades did you get in college?
So I always did well in school, but I didn't work that hard. Like I worked the system. Like this was the thing about like high school and college is like, I was like a good enough student, but I always felt like, like book smart stuff. Like I was like, this isn't like, okay, you want me to jump through these hoops and like write this book report on this thing or like master, like, I was like, okay, I can do that. But like, I've always been, and I'm going to be an eternal student of life. And that was always the education that was more important and took up more space for me. And school felt more like, yeah, like these hoops I have to jump through. So like I did well. And I will say like, I got away with a lot in high school because my sister was like a really good student. So when I would have teachers, they would be like, oh, you're Julia's sister. Like, you're fine. I don't have to worry about you. So I totally like took advantage of that. But, you know, that's such an interesting question because like, I don't know that I ever felt like I was that smart. I just always loved like thinking about things, you know, like I could just unpack stuff for hours. And like, that's always been the case. So, yeah, but now I'm like, now I'm wondering if like, I want to go back to school, if I want to get like a different degree to help me, you know, to kind of like give me some new skills and stuff in my coaching. And the idea of going back to school, like getting a master's in something or a continuing education really excites me. So it would be interesting to kind of be back in that environment, because it's been a while since I've been in like a formal school, you know, like where you're getting graded on stuff and you have like tests and things. So maybe, I don't know, that would be interesting.
Okay. All right, yeah. Amy. All right. Now I don't want it, but I gotta let you get out of here.
Yeah.
All right. So what does your relationship life look like now? What are you doing? Who are you dating? What does it look like here? I know I sound like your father, but
I'm with a really incredible, wonderful man. I'm in a serious, committed relationship. It came out of nowhere. Didn't see it coming.
Is that right?
And he's nothing like I thought he would be like. Like, this is the other thing to me. I don't talk about my relationships a lot online because I just, it's just not, I have boundaries around stuff like that. That like, there's certain things, you know, out of respect to him and everything. But something that I love about my relationship is that he just really surprised me. And it was like one of those things where I was like, oh my God, like you aren't necessarily what I would have thought I needed or like what would be the right fit for me, but we're just really a wonderful fit. So I'm happily taken at the moment.
Cool. It's so good. All right, Amy. So tell the people what you got coming up, Amy. All right.
I've got some cool stuff in the works. So, you know, we're doing this big like bundle send-off thing right now of all of my coaching courses and workshops. We're packaging them up and offering that right now to anyone who wants to do it before we kind of turn a new page in the new year. The thing I'm most excited about coming up is I'm doing these monthly community calls. For women, centered around my new body of work and the undoing. And we kind of do a different topic every month. And then there's also Q&A and some spot coaching on those calls. So, that's a great way. Like if people are just curious about working with me or they want to just get a taste of kind of what this work is about, like they can come to those. And it's just like, I have just such a wonderful community online. Like the women are really incredible. So it's just a nice space to get to connect with other women who are doing the work themselves.
All right, Amy, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Well, definitely follow me on Instagram. So my handle is @AmyYoungCo, or if you follow Lewis, you can just, I think Lewis follows me, so you can just search for Amy.
Yes, I do.
And @AmyYoungCo or Amy Young Coaching is my website. And you can get on my email list. Those are like the two best ways I would say to keep in touch.
Okay, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
It was absolutely fabulous. I was not disappointed.
Oh,
know?
Good.
And I didn't think I would be. You know,
oh,
I really
good.
Didn't think I would be. I spoke to my coach before, last week, and I said, well, Amy Young's coming on. You know what I'm saying? And I was so excited.
Oh,
I said, well, you got to put something out. We got to put some stuff out, letting people know that Amy Young is coming.
That's so funny. Well, I'm so glad that we could do it. And I appreciate you being flexible because, again, I know you reached out in September and I was hitting pause on podcasts and everything. So thank you for being patient as, you know, I was making space to have more conversations like this. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't be surprised if you hear from me in 2021.
I will look forward to it.
We'll do round two. All right.
Good. Hi,
Amy. Thanks. Have a good evening. Bye. Yeah, how cool is this job here? I got to talk to Miss Amy Young on the podcast this evening. Amy Young is a life coach and online creator who works with single women. She tackles tough topics that are love related from a female empowerment perspective. She is also the host of her podcast, Just What You Needed, and her YouTube channel is great and hilarious. It was such a joy talking with Amy. You know, and as I mentioned on the podcast, she is probably the first person that I wanted to chat with most since I've been doing this, and it did not disappoint. It was so fabulous talking with her. For anyone who would like to get in touch with me or seek any daily inspiration or wisdom or check out the blog post or anything of that sort, then you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest at Lewis Morris Coaching. And I appreciate all of you guys' input and your comments or whatever, and I look forward to it. This is such a great job and a great opportunity. I thank you guys for all of your support. Also, if you want to get in touch with me for any coaching for the Spiritual Growth Package or for the Revitalized Relationship Package, you can go to the website, lewismorriscoaching.com. That's LewisMorris.com, and schedule a 45-minute free consultation call, and I would love to speak with you. Also, the Heart Matters store and brand are up and running. They're available. You can go to my link tree in my bio on Instagram, Facebook. Also, you can get it on Twitter, and you will find the Heart Matters store and the Heart Matters brand. We have a lot of great stuff there for the holiday season and so forth. And the podcast is doing fantastic. I thank you guys for your support. We're going to be doing some more IG lives. I just hooked up another app to my desktop that will allow me to do some live streams from my desktop. And I think I'm going to be using that maybe sometime this weekend. I might use it on Saturday. I don't think I have any interviews on the docket for Saturday. So I might use it on Saturday just to test it out to see if it's something that is viable for us to use so that we can communicate more with our audience. Also, I didn't get any of the books tonight. I was just so hype about talking to Amy, so I didn't grab one of the books. But anybody who wants to get one of the books, The G Experiment, Ramble, or A Treatise on Cultivating Manhood, then you can go to Amazon.com and just type in the title or type in my name and you can get the book. Also, you can go to my link tree and get them as well. And I appreciate you guys' support. Continue to share the podcast and like the podcast. You can make some comments, leave some stars if you don't mind. Also, if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me on the back of the website. I have a Let's Talk part on the back of the website where you can send me a message there if you like. You can DM me, ask me any questions about anything. We're going to be coming up with some more content as the holidays get closer so that we can communicate a little bit better with the people. Again, I thank you guys for all of your support, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. For relationship, spiritual, coaching, and resources, go to the Heart Matters brand link tree, which is linktr.ee/LewisMorris. That's linktr.ee/LewisMorris, and we will see you again soon.